from Hebrews 10, verses 16 to 23. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful.
Thanks, Julie. If you have the time to read that chapter in Hebrews, it's certainly worth the read if you're suffering from a guilty conscience. So that means I expect all of you to go home tonight and read that. Let me just pray for one second. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we look at what your word is saying to us, we pray, please, that you would help us to understand, Lord, the truth contained within it. And that, Lord, we would avail of that truth, that we would apply that truth, and that we would experience that truth at work in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. As has been said, over the next 2 weeks, it's actually me who got the short straw, and I'm speaking on the subject of why pray when you can worry about a guilty conscience. And it's interesting because, you know, we say these things, we use these terms all the time, but do we actually sit down and ask ourselves, what do they actually mean? So, for example, when you think of the term conscience, what does it actually mean to you? I know John put up on the screen, you know, the conscience about God's law and it being an apt. I thought that was a very, very apt description. You know, that it's an app that is downloaded, and every one of us in that sense has that app downloaded into our lives. But when you think of the term conscience, what does it actually mean to you? See, I had to answer this question myself and came up with these. Is it the niggling voice in your head that tells you you've done something wrong? Or the gut reaction that fills you with a sense of impending doom, or the fear of consequences? Or is it perhaps the unseen disturber of sleep, stirring restlessness and anxiety in your soul? Worse still, is there nothing there at all? You see, conscience is described as our moral awareness or our moral consciousness. That inner voice that urges us to do good and not evil, and reminds us which we've chosen. It's wonderful. It urges us to do good and not evil, but it also reminds us which one we've chosen. A guilty conscience has also been considered the closest companion of death. A guilty conscience has also been considered the close companion of death, or the closest companion of death. And as John was saying there about Peter, you know, the guilty conscience that Peter must have experienced, and there's probably nowhere else in the Bible where you would see someone with such a guilty conscience, and thankfully he was able to overcome that because of Jesus. But if you want another example of somebody who couldn't handle the guilty conscience from the Bible, was Judas. And Judas went and hanged himself. That inner voice that urges us to do good and not evil, and reminds us which we've chosen, it can be a source of great comfort and encouragement, or of terrible, terrible torment. Also, a guilty conscience, just like depression that we were speaking about over the past 2 weeks, it can take people to very, very dark places and make them do awful things. I mean, I know a man who murdered someone, and his conscience started to gnaw at him. And it became so bad that this man, he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't feel at ease, he couldn't sit down and relax. He just couldn't get himself together at all. He was falling apart. He felt like his whole life was being ripped open. It became so bad for him that he pleaded to speak with the police and confess his crime. What is interesting, though, is this. He told me that it brought him no relief at all, only a lengthy prison sentence. Having committed a murder and being unable to live with the guilt of what he had done, he thought the answer would be to go and tell the police, I committed this murder. When in fact, he said it brought him no relief at all and only a lengthy prison sentence. You know, I read somewhere that the author of Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, he once played a joke on 12 of his friends, and I think it's an amazing joke. But he played this joke on 12 of his friends. He sent them all a message that said, flee at once, all is discovered. Flee at once, all is discovered. And within 24 hours, all 12 of his friends had left the country. Boy, was I tempted to send text messages to people in Shiloh Christian Fellowship this week. I wonder what would have happened. All is discovered, the leaders want to speak to you on Sunday morning. The place would have been empty. The heart is the very center of life, and conscience is at the very center of the heart. It's supposed to react when our actions, our thoughts, and our words conform to, or are rather are contrary to, a standard of right and wrong. In other words, conscience, which means knowledge within oneself, tells us something is either right or wrong. It isn't just there, however, to tell us we've done wrong. It's also there to witness to us when we've done right. I recall the outcry in the 1980s against the original Supergrass trials, and there's a whole thing taking place in Northern Ireland that you're maybe not aware of called Fast Families Against Supergrass Trials, because there's a whole gamut of Supergrass trials about to kick off. And in the 1980s, there was this outcry against the Supergrass trials because these were people who became informers, and for some reason, or for various reasons, mostly to save themselves, they turned state's evidence and saw many of their former comrades convicted and imprisoned. And interestingly, the then chief constable, Jack Herman, husband of Lady Sylvia Herman, called these people converted terrorists, while the communities where they lived called them touts and supergrasses. Was it a matter of conscience? The need to try to clear their conscience that led these converted terrorists to confess the crimes of others? Or was it simply a matter of self-preservation? I mean, I oppose the use of supergrasses for a number of reasons, and for supergrass trials, because I believe that if a person's conscience is genuinely pricked and they are remorseful, even repentant, they should confess their own sins, not the sins of others. A guilty conscience is also there to tell us that we owe a debt that needs to be paid. Whether it is an offense against the law, or something that we've done to another person, or have failed to do for others, conscience tells us we have a debt to pay, and we don't like paying debts, and so we will do whatever we have to do to suppress it and suppress it and suppress it. But remember, a guilty conscience can take people to very dark places and make them do awful things. We ignore our conscience at our peril. The great reformer Martin Luther said, it is neither right nor safe to go against my conscience. And we need to listen to that truth. It is neither right nor safe to go against our conscience. You know, I've sat in hospital wards with dying people who wanted to confess to me the sins of their lives. And I actually had to stop them and tell them, listen, it's not me who needs to hear your confession, but rather God. And God already knows the sins that you have committed. And yet a guilty conscience is not necessarily relieved by confession only, as in the case of my friend who murdered someone. And this brings me to our reading tonight from the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 to 23. The writer here speaks to his readers about drawing near to God, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil or guilty conscience. And the term here, evil conscience, means guilt, hurtful, degenerate, diseased, derelict, mischievous, and wicked. This is what it's speaking about here, about the need to have your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. It means a guilty conscience, a hurtful conscience, a degenerate conscience, diseased conscience, derelict conscience, mischievous conscience, and wicked conscience. And so to put this mildly, every human being has an evil conscience. There is not an adult on earth that has not gone against their conscience in some way or other. In other words, we have not kept all the laws of God. That app that we have had downloaded into our lives tells us we have not fulfilled God's law. We are all guilty. We're all guilty, whether it is an offense against the law of the land or something that we have done to another person or have failed to do for others. Our conscience tells us we owe a debt. But the greatest debt that we owe is to God, our Creator. We've broken His laws. We've transgressed His ways. We have rejected Him and His word. We have sinned against God. And if we're honest, we know that our conscience tells us. Any form of going against our conscience is an act of rebellion against God, who downloaded that app into our lives. So how can a person have their heart sprinkled from an evil, guilty conscience? How can you silence that niggling voice in your head that tells you you've done wrong, or stop that gut reaction filling you with a sense of impending doom and fear of consequence? How do you drive away that unseen disturber of sleep that stirs restlessness and anxiety in your soul? Well, obviously, from a human perspective, when we offend others, we can actually go to them and ask for forgiveness, or we can try to make right what was wrong. But as far as God is concerned, that is not enough to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. God has declared the only way a person can have their heart sprinkled from an evil conscience is by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's word says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's through faith in Jesus that we draw near to God for forgiveness of sin. It's only through Jesus that we can be at peace with God and be forgiven for our sins. This is the only way to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil, guilty conscience. Genuine converted terrorists, like just every other Christian, are those who have trusted in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save them and have received God's mercy, forgiveness, and grace. And what is also so wonderful about the blood of Jesus cleansing us from an evil conscience is that our conscience testifies to us that it has been cleansed, which is wonderful. Satan comes against every Christian and tells you it's not. Your heart hasn't been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. But those who know Jesus know it has. Because your conscience testifies to that truth. Our conscience bears witness. Our sins are forgiven and we are at peace with God. And in response to God's amazing grace shown to us, we begin in God's love to address the offenses that we have committed against others. And where necessary or applicable, we seek forgiveness, offering restitution and reparation. See, maybe tonight you're struggling from an evil, guilty conscience, and it's gnawing away at you. You know you've done wrong. You don't need other people to point the finger. You have that great finger inside yourself. You have that downloaded app that is telling you you have a debt to pay. Whether it is an offense against the law of the land or something that you have done on another person or have failed to do for others, your conscience is telling you that debt has to be paid. You need God's forgiveness. But you should be delighted to know there is forgiveness with God for you. You see, to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil, guilty conscience, you have to come to God. You've got to come to Him through the only way, which is Jesus Christ, His Son, confessing your sin, asking for His mercy, forgiveness, and grace. And guess what? Because He loves us, He will forgive us. It is neither right nor safe to go against our conscience. Is your conscience tonight telling you you have a debt to pay? The greatest debt that you owe is to God. Go to Him first. And when He forgives you, He will give you the grace to sort out all the others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank You that we don't have to go through life living with an evil, guilty conscience. One of the ways for us, obviously, Lord, is to admit that we have evil, guilty consciences. That we have gone against Your word, against Your laws, doing our own thing. We have offended You. We have offended others. We have failed, Lord God, to do the things that are required of us. We have, Lord, indeed, broken many laws in many ways, Lord God. We have broken all 10 commandments. Simply because we have broken one, we're guilty of breaking them all. We may even, Lord, have broken laws of this land. Lord, we would ask You, please, because of Your great mercy and love toward us, that You would allow Your Spirit to point these things out to us and then show clearly through Jesus Christ that there is forgiveness with You for all who come to You. We pray tonight that every person in this place and all who may listen, Lord God, to this message, that we would avail, Lord God, of the peace of God that comes to us, the peace with God that is available for us through faith in Jesus Christ, Your Son. We thank You, Father. Amen. Yeah.